This is Near FM.
Hello and welcome. We have another wonderful lady. We have here in the studio, and I'm totally delighted to have Mary MacDonald from the Asthma Society of Ireland. Mary, you are duly welcome here today.
Thanks very much for having me, Mary. It's a delight to see you again and to have the chance to discuss the Asthma Society of Ireland.
Thank you. You are such a... When I met you at Talent that time, you gave me so much confidence that it's going to be okay. And yeah. I thought it's so important for you to come and to share with... I mean, you were just oozing the whole... The workshop was just oozing me confident for people who have any problem with heart problem. And of course, I told you about my own situation.
Yes.
And you were able to help me. And I'm so delighted you're here. So first of all, Mary, apart from welcoming you, you're so qualified to be here. And we know that the Asthma Society of Ireland has been around for a while, and they have a mission. Can you just explain to us about your organisation?
Well, yes, the Asthma Society has been around for quite a while. In fact, it'll be 50 years in existence next year. And
wow.
I suppose the thing about the Asthma Society is that it always responds to the patient need. And the patient need is really about self-managing their asthma. Our mission is to prevent asthma deaths and to improve the quality of life of people who have asthma so that they can reach their potential, that they are not having symptoms, they are attending school and work and not having to go to the GP or have an attack and go to the emergency department or be admitted. So this is the fundamental mission of the Asthma Society, and we try to achieve that in a number of different ways. And as I said, we respond to the patient needs and also to the developments in the health service by bringing the care of the patient closer to the community, closer to home. So some of the services that we provide, first of all, I'm going to mention the website, asthma.ie, and if anybody who has asthma or knows somebody who has asthma and wants to know how to deal with it, for example, a creche worker or a school teacher, access the Asthma Society website, and you can have information on children and asthma, how to control your asthma, how to assess your asthma. There are videos of how to use the various different devices. Because, Mary, there's so many different devices depending on what medication you're on. And sometimes you might not be sure or you haven't been shown how to use that device. So you can go onto the Asthma Society and access a video and you'll have a demonstration. And in fact, for so many years, I've worked in respiratory departments, mainly with children, but in other areas as well. And I've often referred my patients to the Asthma Society website so that they could view those inhaler device videos. So there's many other things on the website as well. For example, we're doing webinars on a monthly basis approximately. In the last few months, we've done a webinar on asthma and allergies in children, which I suppose is topical at this time of the year. We also did a very interesting webinar on asthma in women and during pregnancy. And we have another webinar coming up on the 30th of June, Thursday evening, 7 to 8. And this is a really nice webinar, and that's because we've entitled it Ask the Doctor. And so what we want people to do is send in their questions, whatever it is. And it's giving the power to the people, the patients, the carers, to get the information that they want. So I'm really excited about that webinar. So the asthma website is one service that we provide. But another two fundamental services are the advice line. The advice line is a phone service whereby a person can make contact with the Asthma Society. And if it's okay, I'll give out the number, Mary.
Please get your pens and pencils ready.
Yes. And by the way, these numbers are on the website as well. And you just have to Google Asthma Society of Ireland and it'll come up, or put in asthma.ie. But the asthma advice line is 1-800-44-54-64. And this advice line, when you phone, you get an appointment to talk to an asthma nurse, a respiratory nurse, a nurse with knowledge about COPD, or a physiotherapist. So you're given an appointment at a time that suits you, and then you're contacted by the nurse. All the nurses, by the way, and the physiotherapist are highly qualified. Many of them actually work in respiratory departments with very experienced physicians and multidisciplinary teams. So they are bringing that expertise to us, which we are absolutely delighted with. And I think in addition to say, we maintain updated knowledge in the Asthma Society through our medical advisory group, and also we have continuing education with our nurses and our physiotherapists, and we conduct updates on anything new that's happening. So they are experienced, qualified, expert in their areas. So if you ring that number, again I'm going to say it, Asthma Advice Line, 1-800-44-54-64. And that's a phone consult with an expert nurse. And the other service that I want to, yes.
Is that phone line free? Does it cost?
Oh,
something?
That's all free. The webinars are free. The advice line is free. All is free. And that's, that's really, really important, and a very good question, Mary, to ask, because we want equality of access to care for patients with asthma, and making it free is the way to do that. The other service, if I may tell you about it.
Yes, please.
Yeah. And this again is kind of responding to the healthcare need and developing with the health service in general. Our service, WhatsApp service, is a service whereby you can text a question. So there's a lot of people now don't want to get on the phone. They don't like to talk on the phone, but they're okay with the text. And so what they can do is they can text a question. So for example, they could text, I've started a new inhaler and I don't know how to use it. And there is a nurse there who will respond and send you a video about how to do that. So, or you could have, What do I do if I have an asthma attack? And you can text that to the number, and then you'll get a response within a day or two. So I'm going to give out that number as well, if I
yes,
may.
Yes, please. We need all the numbers.
All the numbers. So the WhatsApp service number is 086-059-0132. That's 086-059-0132. So these are, I suppose, the services, and as I say, the webinars are available to everybody, and they occur on a monthly basis approximately, and we try and cover various different subjects and get expert speakers in.
I think you lot are marvellous, for the mere fact that they're actually free, so nobody has no excuse not to go and use it. Now, one of the things, because I mean, you yourself, you are well qualified to be giving us this advice. Advanced practice nurse at Talat University Hospital for a number of years.
Yes.
And you've come into the Asthma Society Ireland, really,
yeah,
just to support what they're doing.
I'm so delighted, to be working with the Asthma Society. I actually retired this opportunity arose, and I'm excited about what the Asthma Society does, and I think they have a great future, and because there's a huge need for what they do. We've been through such a difficult time in the last few years. And there's been so many things that have happened, and people have had to scale down their services and staff and so many things like that in very many non-government organisations or charitable organisations, and the Asthma Society was you know, no exception to that. But we are picking ourselves up, and we're, you know, going to be out there, and I'm so delighted to be part of that in an association that I know really makes a difference to patients, really improves their quality of life, and also really does prevent deaths, because the cornerstone of asthma care is self-management, you know, and the tools that people need to do that can be shared through the Asthma Society. So knowledge about what to do when your asthma is deteriorating, what to do if you have an attack. These things, or this type of education, takes a little bit of time. It's not just, you know, something that people get divine inspiration about. They need to be taught about it. And through the advice line or Beating Breathlessness or the website, these are ways to do this.
How was the COVID time, during the COVID time? Because, I mean, the COVID is still with us. People are still having that.
Yes.
COVID and asthma. Let me even extend that. COVID and those with breathing difficulties.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the things that's hanging on people. They're very tired.
Yes.
They can't breathe. They've had the COVID. They've recovered, like my neighbour. And it was still a long time.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things in there, Mary. You know, COVID versus asthma versus, at this time of the year, allergic rhinitis. So, you know, there's a differentiation in some of the symptoms. With COVID, you're probably going to have a temperature and rigors and stiffness and maybe a change in taste or smell. With asthma, you're going to have wheezing. You're going to have shortness of breath, difficulty breathing. With allergic rhinitis, you will have an itchy nose, sneezing a lot, itchy eyes, that kind of thing. So there is, and actually there's on the website again, there's that chart about those different types of symptoms. But what I would say is that if you are unsure, contact your healthcare professional, contact your GP. COVID is still with us, you know, and so it's important to be knowledgeable about that. The other thing that I think you mentioned there was long COVID. And long COVID is evolving, and I suppose care centres are developing in response to long COVID, and it would appear that it is a kind of a multi-system problem as opposed to just a lung problem. So people have various different symptoms. They could be, you know, headaches and lethargy and that kind of thing, you know, tiredness, chronic tiredness. And if anybody thinks they have long COVID, again, discuss with their GP, who may be able to refer them on for appropriate investigations, which could be, you know, heart investigations, tummy investigations, you know. So long COVID is, I would say, a specific problem in itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. What about if asthma and COVID then? If you have asthma and you get COVID,
well, that's another very important question. The research hasn't been 100% clear as to whether asthma patients suffer more because of COVID. They don't necessarily contract it more than anybody else who doesn't have asthma. The important thing, I think, is that if you have asthma and your asthma is well controlled and you're on the right medication, then you're not likely to suffer from COVID any more than anybody else who does not have asthma. So the important message there is to maintain your treatment for your asthma. Take your inhalers as has been prescribed by your GP and get a review. you know, about your asthma to be sure that you're on the right level of medication.
How often should they get that review? Because, you know, some things like the physio said to do this and you've done it and you've just kept on like that.
I know.
Not knowing you need to go back and, you know, maybe there'd be something else you need to add to it.
Yeah.
How often do you think people should, especially in the COVID situation we're still in?
I know.
You know.
It really depends on, you know, how controlled or uncontrolled a patient's asthma is. So I would say every 6 months, generally speaking, would be apt, probably at the change of season, you know, around March, April, and again around September, October. So you're putting a plan in place for the winter months. You're putting a plan in place for the summer months, if that makes sense. If somebody's asthma is poorly controlled, if they've had, for example, an attack and we're in the emergency department, then they should be seen more often, definitely within a few weeks, days to weeks of an emergency department presentation. And if they're not well controlled, you can definitely increase their reviews up to 2 or 3 monthly. So it's really on an individual basis. And I suppose that's what was one of the things that kept my interest going with asthma all down the years, is that it's very individual. Treatments are tailored according to what's happening to that person and what their response is to the medication. And that sort of brings me to the Asthma Action Plan, Mary. I know we talked about it before. It's fundamental to the care of each patient. And an Asthma Action Plan is individualised to each patient. So it works in a traffic light system approach, where you have your green, which is good, orange, slow down, take it easy, something's not going right, and red is, you know, danger. So in the green zone, you're taking your medications as prescribed, you're continuing to do that, you have no symptoms, you're tolerating exercise, you're not waking up at night with symptoms, and you're not requiring your reliever inhaler, which might be, you know, a blue inhaler, more than once or twice a week. But if you're going into the orange zone, where it's slow down, let's see what's going on here, what's happening, you might be having some symptoms like a cough or a wheeze or shortness of breath. You might have a cold or a flu. And in children particularly, they get viral infections, you know, in the winter months, September, October, November, and the flu goes around in January. So there's that's a time in that orange zone, that watch out, let's see what's happening, time to increase the level of medication. And normally that will be to take your blue inhaler or your reliever inhaler. It could be a white inhaler too, but take it more often. And your healthcare professional will have given you specific instructions around that. But if that plan of increasing your medications is not working, then you need to get a review with your doctor or your asthma nurse. And then if you go into the red zone, and this is hugely important, the red zone, because everybody needs to know what to do if they have an asthma attack. If you have asthma, it can be unpredictable, you know,
an attack. You said unpredictable. What kind of things could bring it on? I mean, they're perfectly well now and all of a sudden they've got an asthma attack.
Yeah.
In the workplace, what happens?
An asthma attack can be brought on by a number of different triggers. So it could be dust, it could be pollen, it could be cats, dogs, it could be even exercise. A common one that I might have come across down the years was somebody who went out playing a football match and it was pollen season, the pollen count was very high. And, you know, things can happen quickly enough. And so if somebody did have an attack, what you need to do is follow what's called the 5-step rule. So sit up and stay calm is the main thing. Don't have a person lie down who's having an asthma attack. Remember, they're having difficulty breathing. So if they sit up, then it's easier for them to breathe. Take slow, steady breaths. And again, because if you're having an asthma attack, sometimes it can make you feel anxious. And if you're anxious, then you can breathe a little quicker, and that feeds into the asthma attack more. So stay calm and take slow deep breaths. Then you use your blue inhaler, your reliever inhaler, whatever colour your reliever inhaler is that gives you that quick relief. You take a puff of that. And if you're under six, you can have up to six puffs in 10 minutes. If you're over six, you can have up to 10 puffs in 10 minutes. So that's taking a fair few puffs, one after the other, in 10 minutes. But if it's not responding, then you know you're having a problem and you need to call an ambulance, really, and go to the emergency department. And if after your, after 10 minutes you're still not right, you can repeat your Ventolin. If you're having an attack, taking repeated doses of Ventolin is okay, but you must get help at that stage. It's hugely important.
And if it's a child that's having that asthma attack, you still go through those same steps as well. If you're helping a child that's having that.
Yes, it's the same. It's the same for a child or an adult. And that's why it's important for parents, carers, guardians, teachers, creche workers, to be aware of that. It's like anything else, that... the public kind of generally would like to know about, CPR or, what to do if somebody has an epileptic attack. Like, it's with asthma, what to do in an asthma attack is important for people to know. So if they came across it, they'd have an idea what to do.
I think that's very, very good because, as you said, there are different triggers that could set it up. They may have come up perfectly okay and then... Like, I had a guest once, and she was in the second room where you were.
Yes.
In the second studio, and she started. She had this fit, and she said, "There must be dust in here."
Oh, Lord.
We had to get her out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I hope she had her reliever inhaler with her.
Yeah, she was out for a while, and then she came back to finish the program.
But bless her.
Just the fact that we didn't feel like there's any dust in there, but she picked it up quite quickly.
And you see, that's the thing about when you're allergic to these things. What's normal to somebody else, your body is reacting to. So if you're allergic to dust, your body then sort of releases cells that, kind of mast cells are called, they sort of explode, which sounds mad. This is, at a very kind of fundamental level in your body, but it causes inflammation and it causes inflammation in your lungs. So instead of having a clear tube bringing the air from your nose down into your lungs, that tube becomes swollen. And when it becomes swollen, then it's like it's, sore, and it twitches. And when that tube twitches, that's when you start coughing and wheezing and becoming short of breath, So I think understanding what is actually happening in your body is important as well, because I think it all feeds into managing your symptoms and knowing when to get help and following, the action plan. And if somebody out there has got asthma and they don't have an action plan, download it from the website. Contact the advice line. Discuss it with one of the nurses who will navigate you through the healthcare system so that you, see the appropriate person with regard to that.
Well, thank you. Well, I must ask you this question. Do you find that we're coming towards the end, the migrant community, are they quick to get access to these things?
In what respect? If you just be more specific, yeah.
Well, do you know what I'm saying? That, a lot of the time you're so busy worrying about your, people like from the refugees and... They're very much in contact. I need to get my papers or hiding and all the rest of things that's happening to them as a result of what they're experiencing.
We really want to reach out.
How do you reach
we
out?
We really want to reach out, whether it's, Ukrainians, whether it's immigrants, whether it's socially deprived, and we try our best. Our information is available in 8 or 9 different languages. And I can't tell you all of them, because somebody asked me, well, did we have it in Hindu? And I actually have to look up. I'm not 100% sure. But we do have Ukrainian information leaflets on asthma available on the website. With the, you know, the socially deprived, Paddy Point, we've made connections, you know, from the travellers, and then of course Nala, and the reading sort of level that people have, which is different in different situations. We have information on our website to cater for that also. So if there is any, I suppose, if there's anybody out there who thinks that we can make another connection with another group to improve access and advocate, please contact us, you know, because we want to respond to those needs.
Yeah, because one of the things that I've heard from Muslim,
yes,
that I was interviewing, was that in her community, because of the way things are, Somalian communities especially, and that you may need to bring somebody to a woman to come and work with them and give them understanding more.
Yes.
And somebody interpreting those things that you're saying.
That's fascinating.
Would that be something that could be organised?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
and you see, there are these situations, and you know, there are probably people in the Asthma Society who understand these situations, because I'm relatively new, a lot better than I do. But I think that you know, those kind of situations are very, very important. And if we can reach out to those people, and if we can you know, educate, and if we can empower them, absolutely, please give us a call.
Right, did you hear that? And so I will get in touch with her. I said, you know, is this possible? Because there are lots of things, they can't go out, they're afraid and things. And is that, it's possible?
Yeah, that is, completely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, Mary, we've come quickly to the end. You're absolutely brilliant. And yeah. I could listen to you all day, and thank you for all this.
I could listen to you too, Mary.
It's just, I think this website is so brilliant. The fact that there's, you said something's happening on Thursday, call your doctor.
On Thursday, the 30th of June, there is a webinar, and the webinar is entitled Ask the Doctor. And just very quickly, the advice line 1-800-44-54-64, and the WhatsApp service is 086-059-0132.
You have been brilliant. Asthma Society of Ireland, continue to do your good job, because a lot of lives have been saved, and more important, we've been educated to treat ourselves and to treat those people.
Yeah.
You know, what we could do. Those steps and the traffic light, I'll never forget that one.
Yeah.
Thank you so
much. Okay, thanks a million, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
90.3.
This is Near FM. Near FM.